Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, a High School National Championship, the College National Championship, and the College Bracket, leading to the Bassmaster Classic. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information on how to become a member or to start a com, and click on the Nation tab. The best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the watch button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Well, Dave Mercer said it all when he said the 50th Bassmaster Classic ends with a cherry on top. 46-year-old Hank Cherry, a 8-year veteran of the Elite Series, built a big lead with a day one bag of over 29 pounds and then held off all comers with 16 pounds on day two and then over 19 pounds on the final day for a comfortable 7-pound win over Todd Auten. Stetson Blaylock used a 20-pound bag to jump into third, and Seth Fider had the biggest Sunday sack with just under 22 pounds to climb into fifth behind Micah Frazier. Hank is coming up a little bit later on in our Winner Circle segment. Our Rapala Fantasy Fishing guest picker for the Bassmaster Elite at Chickamauga is Ronnie Moore from Bassmaster Live, and he's coming up in our third segment. But in the leadoff role, we meet elite rookie Destin Demarion of Grove City, Pennsylvania. Demarion says Chick is his favorite lake on the planet. And after years on the BassPro.com Bassmaster Open Series, as both a co-angler and then a pro, he's looking forward to making some noise in Dayton next week.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And now time for our Meet the Elite segment to get things started. And, you know, later on we'll talk to Hank Cherry, won the Bassmaster Classic. And Hank was a baseball player and an athlete outside of professional fishing. And our guest in the Meet the Elite segment, same way, played college football at Gannon University up in right on Lake Erie, to be honest with you. I mean, right on Lake Erie. And now he has worked his way through the Opens and is a rookie on the Elite Series. He is Destin Demarion. Destin, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Hey, thanks, Tom. Yeah, it's good to be here. I'm doing really well. I'm at Santee right now getting some pre-fishing. It's going to be 80 degrees. I couldn't be more pumped for nice weather after being up in Pennsylvania for the last month.
Yeah, no, good stuff. And I got to be honest, the reason I picked you for Meet the Elites today is because you listed Chickamauga, our next tournament next weekend, you listed Chickamauga as your favorite lake on the planet. Now, I know I fished that Eastern Open last year. You fished that Eastern Open. You missed the top 12 by an ounce. But why is Chick? I made a check as well. Why is Chickamauga your favorite lake?
I think Chick really became my favorite lake because of I went there the first time when they were spawning really heavy. And I never have seen so many big fish spawning like all over the place in my life. It was just like such a treat. I mean, I got to catch a bunch like in practice and in the tournament, and I was pretty much spoiled after that point. Just the way it sets up is beautiful there, and like you got the mountains there, you know, and east, you know, the Smokies kind of there, and then you know, you got grass and it's clear, and then you've got all kinds of different things you can do there. It's just a cool fishery.
And it's not like there's not great lakes up and down, you know, the Tennessee River. I mean, you go one lake up, it's Watts Bar. You go the other way, it's Nickajack, I mean, which is kind of like the dirty little secret of the Tennessee River, another good lake. So that whole region is fantastic. I don't, did you know that Carl Jacobson moved there after he won a 10 killer? He got married and then he moved to Chickamauga. So that's where he's living now.
I did not know that. Yeah, I know. I mean, a lot of it seems like the pilgrimage, kind of like the transition from when you make the Elite Series. A lot of guys move to like the Tennessee River. I feel like Gunnersville, Chickamauga. It seems like a natural progression.
Yeah.
I mean, I would live there too.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about first year history, and we'll get to the fishing. As I said, you were a college football player at Gannon. Do you feel like your past in athletics outside of fishing, do you feel like that helps you at all in your competition as a fisherman?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, when I went to play football in college, like, I wasn't really, like, that heavy recruiter or anything. I was going to go to a Division III school. And, honestly, I made the decision pretty late that I was going to go to Gannon. I mean, we had been talking for a while, but I just wanted more of a challenge, and I just wanted to be able to push myself and grow as a person, and that's really, like, what I've done in the fishing world, too. I've always tried to challenge myself as much as I can, and those things I learned through, you know, football and stuff like that, I feel like it has really helped. You know, the competitive side of fishing and the mental side of it, really.
Yeah. Well, and let's be honest now. Mark Zona told me that he picked the college that he went to because it was on a lake and he could drive his boat and you know, beach it on the shore, go to class, and then get back in his boat and go back out and fish. Now, Gannon, I know Gannon. I played hockey against Gannon in college at the Erie County Fieldhouse there. And Gannon, I mean, you just look right out there, and there's smallmouth heaven. There's Lake Erie right there. So don't tell me that proximity to Lake Erie didn't have something to do with you going to Gannon.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That was number one. that was number one. I was thinking about going to school a little bit south of there, but the fishing wasn't quite as good, and that definitely helped make my decision.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I could walk down to the bay and fish from shore, and me and my buddy, we started a fishing club there, and that's what we would do. We would just fish from shore. We would wade. We wade a lot in the summertime. And we could fish most of the bay, and we could fish the tiers and the smallmouths are coming in and out. And I never had a boat there until I was my senior year, the end of my senior year. So we made do with what we had there, and we had a good time.
That's fantastic. Dustin Demarion with us in our Meet the Elite segment. Talk about your path to the elites. You came the hard way, man. You came through the opens, and your first, I think, 31 tournaments were as a co-angler. Now, I'm fishing a co-angler on the BassPro.com Bassmaster Open Series. It is phenomenal. And to be honest with you, where can you pay $475 now and spend 2 days on the water with a top-notch pro? Many cases, it's a local. You couldn't do that. You couldn't buy a guide for that. You couldn't, you know, go out and fish like that. What a tremendous program that is. And just talk about how that helped you decide what you were going to do and how you would fish as a pro.
Oh, 100%. I think what you're saying, too, that's like what I tell people when they're kind of hesitant. I said, where can you get a guide trip with some of the best fishermen in the world for 2, maybe 3 days? I mean, that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
And, like, that was kind of my mindset when I started fishing the opens, is how do I bridge the gap between, like, you know, what I knew and what I knew I needed to figure out fishing elsewhere in the country, because I had not really been outside of the Northeast until I was a senior in college to fish. And I knew I needed to really learn and learn quickly if I wanted to do what I wanted, you know, get to this point. And it was a tremendous way to learn, meet a lot of really good guys. You know, most of the pros you're going to fish with, they're going to be really good guys. They're going to be helpful. You're going to make a lot of friends, you know, lifelong friends. I have a ton of lifelong friends just from fishing the opens, and many of them is when I was fishing as a co-angler.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a tremendous experience, and I really do recommend doing it.
Now, as a co, you hope that you get a guy that's fishing a little bit of open water, like at Toho last, the first Eastern Open this year. I fished with Randy Blockett on day two, and we were fishing open water grass, and you don't feel like you can get backboated. Other times, other waters, the one difference between a guide trip is the pro's not responsible for putting you on fish. He's going to fish with he can fish. So what advice would you give to a co-angler in terms of how to fish behind that pro, and especially if it's a situation where he's doing a lot of target fishing?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the things that most people are weary of is I'm going to, you know, fish the back of the boat, you know, from the console back. That's my area. I'm going to fish it, and I'm going to respect the pro. And a lot of times, if you do that, your pro is going to be, you know, he's going to be like, all right, he'll give you something because he knows that you're respecting him. And a lot of these guys are like on edge because they've been screwed over.
Yeah.
Guys casting over their heads and stuff like that and might catch a fish that costs them thousands of dollars. So if you just respect them, a lot of times these guys will treat you well and they'll give you something to cast at, even if they're fishing something where it's not as easy to do that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Dustin DeMarion with us. All right, you come off of a 40-place finish at the St. John's River. You get the little break here because of the fact that they postponed Chick, which was definitely the right thing to do. I live in the region. We've had unbelievable amount of rain here and so on. But now the lake has been coming down and everything seems to be settling out. It's going to be nice, stable, decent, maybe even a little bit warm weather when you guys get there next week. What's your thought process on how you're going to attack that place and how do you think it goes?
You know, I'll probably start by trying to expand on what I found in pre-fish, which obviously that was a long time ago. It was in January that we were pre-fishing there because we thought we were going to fish in February. But I think, I mean, a lot of those fish should still be in those kind of winter patterns, but they could be starting to come up a little bit depending on how warm it does get. So I'm going to start doing kind of expanding on what I found. And from there, I'll kind of figure out if I'm going to go more towards the springtime patterns or kind of stick with that wintertime pattern.
Yeah, I mean, do you think they could be moving up? I mean, do you think that we'll see some spawning fish caught in this deal?
There might be a couple, but I was looking at the long-range forecast, and I wouldn't say it's exactly ideal for that. We got a lot of rain. The temperatures aren't extremely warm from what I looked yesterday, but there could be a few.
Yeah. Yeah, Dustin DeMarion with us. Obviously, points is what it's all about at this particular point in time, winning. But how fired up are you after seeing that 50th Classic at Gunnersville? How fired up are you to take a run at making that next Classic?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was definitely fuel for the fire. I mean, working at the Expo was cool. And I mean, it was really nice to catch up with a lot of like fans and just sponsors and stuff. And it was a good time, but I mean, obviously, you want to be out there fishing and watching the TVs and the expo. I mean, it was definitely some extra fuel for the fire. I mean, I went to the final weigh and was standing right next to the stage, and I was like, yep, I need to be there next year. So it's definitely putting some extra fuel in the fire.
Tremendous stuff. Dustin DeMarion has been our guest. Dustin, we appreciate you so much, and we'll be looking for you running that Pretty Phoenix all season long out there on the Elite Series. We'll see you at Chick next week.
Sounds good, Tom. Look forward to seeing you guys.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Dustin DeMarion there. All right, when we come back, Ronnie Moore will join us. He is our guest picker in fantasy fishing. It's coming up right after this on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And it's time now for our Rapala Fantasy Fishing guest picker for Chickamauga. And who better to have than the guy that stands in front of that big screen on Bassmaster Live and explains to us throughout the tournaments what's going on in fantasy fishing. And you know I'm talking about Ronnie Moore, and he joins us. Ronnie, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, Tom. I'm recovering from the Classic and getting ready for another Elite event. We only had about 7 days before we get back in tournament mode, and it's coming up quick.
Yeah, it is coming up quick, and you know, we go up the Tennessee River, a couple of more lakes, and you wonder first about weight. You know, you look at what Hank Cherry's winning weight was for a 3-day deal. Do you extrapolate that into a 4-deal day weight and say that, you know, this is going to be a 90-pound tournament, or could we be looking at the old century mark at Chick?
I've got it split right down the middle. I've got, you know, roughly, I've been thinking about a weight, and I think that 95 and a half pounds, 96, it's so hard to break that century mark in the spring unless you're looking at them. But I think that the conditions are setting up great. I talked to a friend on the final day of the Classic. The water temperature at Chickamauga on the main river was 51, 52, 53 degrees, and in the backs of the creeks was 57. So give it a whole week, you know, the week after the Classic and the week leading up to Chickamauga, you know, the whole deal, those highs every single day are in the 60s. So the lowest temperature we're going to see is you know, mid-40s and whatnot at night. So I think that it's going to keep that water temperature rising overall. It might drop back every single morning, but it'll rise back up. And I think we could see a blowout. If a dude gets on the right thing, it could break 100 pounds. But I would say we'll see a couple guys in that 90-pound range for sure.
How much do we take from the classic results? I mean, obviously, you know, we're back to a full field here, but you got guys that, you know, of course, Hank Cherry won it. He had a kind of a rough start at the St. John's, but guys that, you know, did very, very well at Gunnersville. How much do we take that in building our team into Chick, do you think?
I think it's totally different. I think it's totally different because the eelgrass at Gunnersville has changed that place a lot. That's a dynamic. We had a lot of high winds day one. The water was getting dirtier, getting cleaner, changing so much every single day. I don't know if the same guys will produce, but I feel like the same baits will produce. Mm-hmm. I feel like those square bills like Stetson and Michael were throwing will produce. I feel like those lipless crankbaits are going to do it, chatterbaits and whatnot, and jerkbaits. But I think we'll see a spinnerbait. I didn't hardly see a spinnerbait fish get caught. Seth Spider said he caught a few on day one and day two. But I feel like we'll see a spinnerbait. And if we see it come into play, it could be a double Colorado if it's dirty. But I feel like this could be a tournament where some guys are breaking spinnerbaits in half because they're catching so many big fish on them throughout the week of practice in the tournament.
All right, let's get to our buckets. Ronnie Moore with us here, our guest picker for fantasy fishing this week. I in bucket A, I am surprised that Buddy Gross only has 24%. I mean, he is the fish Chickamauga guy. He is an ATM machine on that lake. He's at 24%. Who do you like in this first bucket? Because it seems like there's a number of guys getting a lot of love.
Yeah, when you look at it, it's Buddy Gross at 24%, Stetson Blaylock, John Cruz at 16% and 17% respectively. I think those numbers are solid, but I expect Buddy Gross over the next 5 days to go up even more. You know, we're talking right now a week before the tournament starts. I feel like, you know, leading up to the tournament, he will jump up higher. He has to. But I also feel like this time of the year, I'm not hating on Buddy Gross, but I feel like this time of year, eliminates a little bit of local advantage. When the weather's improving, the fish are going to be biting everywhere. They're biting right now as we speak. As the fishing gets better, it's going to be more wide open, so it's going to be harder to have that home field advantage. I'd say that he'd have somewhat of a home field advantage if it was at the regularly scheduled date in February, but now that it's in mid to late March, I feel like it's going to be wide open, and I feel like he'll still be a contender, but I feel like there's you don't only have to pick the local guys to do well. So I'm picking Kyle Welcher. And I'm picking Kyle Welcher not because he caught a 10-pounder, not because he did well at the St. John's River. He is very good at shallow water fishing in general. Somebody came up to me at the Classic and said, that Welcher kid, man, if he can figure out how to catch him and he can spend time, if he can figure out how to catch him deeper and offshore and he fine-tunes that part of his game, he's going to be really, really fierce competitor for the next 10 to 12 years because he can figure them out shallow no matter where they are, whether it's a swim jig, whether it's a spinnerbait, whatever it is, flipping a jig. That is Kyle Welcher's game, and he spent a lot of time on Chickamauga. He's done very well there in the past, and it was one of the lakes that he fished to make the elites after the 2019 season. So Welcher's my pick, 4% right there. I feel like that's a really, really a good bargain for him. People probably don't know what to expect with him. He came out of nowhere, but if you paid attention to the opens, if you paid attention to his YouTube channel, he spent a lot of time on the Tennessee River, a lot of time at Chickamauga and Watts Bar, and I feel like he will have enough ability to run around and make it work.
March Madness, which we're making out our brackets for that too, and I stick close to the chalk and then pick my spots. I want to add one or two underdogs at the most and pick my spots. And so let's get to some of these other buckets. This second bucket, bucket B, has another guy that's pulled a lot of money out of that lake, John Cox, both on FLW and on Bet Events there. He's at 24%. My neighbor, Brandon Lester, we share a home lake. He's at 32%. A lot of people liking Brandon Lester there as well. What do you like?
Man, I tend to always go to the lower percentage guys just because I feel like if it's a smart pick, don't just go for 2-1-0% picked guys just to do it. But if you find a guy that it should be up his alley and he's not being picked, you can really gain a lot of fantasy points doing that. And I feel like Drew Benton, this is a Drew Benton type of tournament, whether it's a flat side crankbait or, you know, a lipless or a chatterbait. That's just what he's really good at this time of the year. And at 1.2%, I feel like that's a real good bargain for him. John Cox is going to be a factor in that event. We've seen him win two opens in that April, the April, May time period. This is a little bit earlier than that. He's still going to be able to throw a Fritz side around, what he likes to throw cranking wise. He'll still be able to throw a bladed jig and things like that. And even maybe a wacky rig around some of that shallow cover if it progresses into that. I could see him if he makes it through the weekend, that Saturday, Sunday weather forecast. If it stays the same, it could be dynamite for him. But Drew Benton is a guy that when big fish show up, he shows up. And I feel like he's a solid pick there. A guy like David Mullins, if there's going to be a guy that finds him on the main river other than Buddy Gross, it could be David Mullins. He's a great offshore fisherman. Him and Keith Combs are in that bucket, and they're right there at 7% each. I feel like those guys, if there's going to be a school of fish still on that main river, those are going to be the guys that are going to look for them, for one. When the weather's improving, people aren't going to go look offshore. They're going to be in the backs of creeks and up shallow. So there's not going to be people looking for them out deeper, but those two guys could do that, and that could be a sneak hole that they find that they can load up real quick in a hurry.
Let's pull some names out of the other bucket. C has a bunch, has a couple of really big names in there. Brandon Carr's getting a lot of love because he's a Tennessee guy there. And, of course, name value with Gerald Swindle, a great fisherman as well. But this is where I might look at a sleeper. Destin Demarion opened the show for us, and he lists Chickamauga as his favorite lake on the planet. So, I wonder about a guy like that as a sleeper, but who do you like in C?
I'm wondering if Destin is just changing his favorite lake based on what the next elite event is.
Might
because
be.
He spent a lot of time at the St. John's River as a guide, and so he was an underrated favorite there, and I picked him there. So now that I know that his favorite lake is Chickamauga, that could change some things. But I really expect a bounce back tournament from Brandon Cobb. Man, from the end of his 2019 season, I mean, from when he won at Lake Fork, his second elite win of 2019, to the end of the year, He really struggled to catch him. He did not catch him up north in smallmouth territory. That was a little bit new for him. He hadn't spent a bunch of time up there. And then we get to the St. John's, and he was just middle of the pack. And then the Classic, he struggled. So I expect when we roll around late March, April, that is a Brandon Cobb type of week, type of time of year. So I'm going to pick him. He's sitting at 8%. People are still probably thinking about his wins. But I expect Brandon Cobb to figure it out and get back on track where we expect to see him in the Bucket A, Bucket B region the rest of the season. Cobb's a guy that if he puts it all together up down south and up north, he's always going to be one that you think about for AOY.
Yeah,
there's some other guys in this bucket that have plenty of experience there. Matt Herron did well at Bass Fest there in 2014 at Chickamauga. That was during the summer, obviously. But if it's comes a time where the water level's right and it's higher and it's in the bushes and it's up there up shallow and flipping becomes a thing, Matt Herron's going to be one to watch in that bucket. He's at an affordable rate. And then there's a lot of guys in this bucket. It's a 20% and up, or you're at 2%. There's no middle ground. The only guy who's middle ground right there is Brandon Cobb at 8%. So one to watch is you either got to go with the favorites in this bucket and the high percentage, or you really got to do your research to take a risk on some of those guys that are at lower percentages.
All right, so Ronnie Moore giving you some picks there in the first three buckets. You guys are on your own for the last two buckets. We're not going to let you just have Ronnie tell you exactly what your team is going to be. It's great stuff, as always. Ronnie, we'll be watching on Bassmaster Live. I'll be out at the lake as well, and we're looking forward to Chick. It's going to be another great event.
It should be great. I'm excited.
All right, man. Thank you. There you go, Ronnie Moore. What a great job there on the as our guest picker for fantasy fishing. All right, coming up next, well, he won the Classic, so he's in the winner's circle. He's Hank Cherry, and he's next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And now time for our classic winner's circle with the man himself, the Cherry Bomb. Call him whatever you want to call him. Call him Hank Cherry. Call him a Bassmaster Classic champion because that is what he did at Gunnersville, and he joins us now. Hank, it's a trite question to ask, but how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing good. I got a few shots in the elbow yesterday. I've just been trying to decompress, catch up on messages, which is going to take a while. I've actually got to go today to my son and daughter's school because the whole fourth grade wants me to come in and bring the trophy, and they have a bunch of questions they want to ask me.
Yeah, baby.
We got to do that. There's other things on the plate. I've got to head. My stay at home is pretty quick. I've got to head back to Alabama for the Basscat Owners Tournament this weekend on Smith Lake and then over to Chickamauga. So there's not a whole lot of time to reminisce and look back because the season's going to keep going and my schedule has gotten very, very busy the next few weeks.
Good problem to have, though, right? I mean, that's part of the deal when you're the Bassmaster Classic champion. You always be introduced as such, and you know you're still a young enough guy to where there's a lot of things that are in the future for you. But you know, it's a lot more than the $300,000 check that they gave you. I mean, it's all of these other things, your sponsors and everybody else, all of the things that go with being a classic champion. And I imagine your calendar just kind of got a little bit fuller.
It did, but I'm not complaining because that's what we're all chasing. This is the one of the two trophies that you want to have in your house throughout your career. Now I've got to go capture that AOY crown somehow. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to do the best and represent Bass to the best of my abilities and my family, and I look forward to the future.
Yeah. Hank Cherry with us coming off of his victory in the Bassmaster Classic, joining us from his home in North Carolina. All right. They say the old saying is you can't win the Classic on the first day, but you can lose it. You kind of won the Classic on the first day. I mean, let's just be honest. That 29-pound bag, talk about that a little bit. Did you see that coming at all? And is that your biggest one-day bag ever? I mean, 29 pounds. Nobody, who catches 29 pounds?
I've never come close, I think, to 29 pounds. I think until that time, at a little lake here in North Carolina, Baden Lake, I think I weighed right at 27 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So that was definitely my biggest. I did not see it coming. I cannot express how happy that I am that it did come on that day at that particular time on that stage. And it definitely gave me the boost to be able to ride that bag to the end.
Yeah, and day two got started a little bit slow for you, and I started getting a little bit nervous. You were in a little secret spot that nobody's ever fished before, except for a million people. that riprap wall all the way down through Browns Creek there, which was really something to see. But did it, I talked about this on live about, there's those 30-pound bags out there, but there's also those 7-pound bags out there. You got that slow start going, actually, both day two and day three. Did you feel confident, though, that as the day wore on that the bites would start coming, or does it start creeping into your head a little bit saying, hey, what's going on here?
It wasn't really creeping into my head. I knew, I'd be lying if I didn't have a thought or two, but I knew in my head, I knew from day one, I was like, look, it takes a little bit longer in the day. It's got to warm up, cold nights, it's got to warm up. And knowing the history of that causeway and just the history of fishing Lake Gunnersville and knowing what's swimming around there and knowing what has to come through that gap to go to the back to the spawning bays, I knew I was around the fish and that throughout the day I was going to get some bites.
Mm. So you just had that confidence in that area. And did guys and people leave you alone? I mean, it is a community hole, if you will, but the whole lake's a community hole. I mean, there's so many spots that are like that on Gunnersville. But did the competitors and even did you see many people from other tournaments that might have been going on over the weekend fishing your water?
Not really. Most people were really respectful. I mean, I was pretty surprised at how if they did fish the causeway while I was around, they didn't fish it while I could see them.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a couple competitors the last day, which kind of surprised me. But once again, like I said, you know, it's a free lake. They could go where they want. I'm not exactly sure with the lead that I have. If I was in another position, that I would have even showed up. But you're not going to hear me complain or be sour grapes about it or hold a grudge. The locals were supportive. They watched me fish. I guess late in the day on Sunday, some of them said they just, I guess they figured they just had enough and they started fishing, but I guess they knew what was going on the score tracker, which I had no idea. But it never really altered my approach. You know, I kind of zoned everything out and just kept trying to catch the next one.
Hank Cherry with us talking about his wire-to-wire win in the 50th Bassmaster Classic. Not just any Bassmaster Classic. I mean, it'll always be known that you won the 50th Bassmaster Classic, which also carries a certain amount of juice with it as well. Everybody knows that you are an athlete. You look at you. You look at one of the most fittest guys that, you know, that is out there. You take care of yourself. But, you know, it's different. 36 is different than 46. And you know, you've been banged up a little bit. You've had some injuries. Talk about what happened on day one with your right arm, because it looked like your right elbow looked a little bit painful watching you trying to cast when you did cast with your right arm on day two and three.
It was. I just had a little slip on the back deck when I was trying to go down to land a fish. I'm not exactly sure throughout the moment. I've tried to go back and rethink of how exactly happened, but the best I could think is when I slipped, I kind of maybe hyperextended my elbow a little bit, and the pain was kind of like somebody cut me with scissors every time I would bend my arm.
Wow.
Back and forth. So like I said, I went to the doctor yesterday. He said he didn't think there was any structural damage. He gave me two shots, one in the front side lower elbow, one on the top side back. He said that should take care of what's ailing right now. And at the end of the year, I'll come back in, we'll MRI it. If there's anything that needs to be cleaned up, he's confident that we can take care of it then.
Yeah. You did most of your damage on day one with that jackhammer chatterbait. And, man, so many guys were throwing a chatterbait. It doesn't seem to be something. You know, some people will say that the fish have kind of conditioned themselves to the Alabama rig or some other types of presentations that are out there. But this chatterbait thing has been going on for like 10 years now. And a lot of guys were throwing it, and you were very, very effective with it on day one. Talk about how you worked it and what color you were using as well.
Well, I had it on a little grass flat about halfway back in Browns. It was probably, you know, it was within eyesight of the causeway. And what was specific to that area was there was no eelgrass. It was very short, bright green hydrilla. Had some stumps mixed in, a couple hard spots mixed in, but I was basically just throwing it with the wind as far as I could. I put the wind on my back, my power pulls down, which were a huge key, and I was just trying to hit the higher spots, hit the higher hydrilla within the place. And it would basically bog down, and when I would pull it free, most of the time they would just be there. Mm. The two big ones that I caught on back-to-back casts, they happened to be around a some type of tree that had drifted into the grass flat and hung up. And I threw it to the right-hand side of the tree. I'll never forget this. To the right-hand side of the tree, as soon as it hit the water, and I cranked the handle once, the rod loaded from my hand, and I knew it was a big one.
Yeah.
I got that one in, I put it in, I stood back up, checked my knot, I just pitched it over to the left-hand side of the tree, and I cranked one time, and it loaded up again. It was another big one. So that kind of set the tone for the day.
That's an amazing story, and I know you are a very strong, faithful guy. You know, when something like that happens, and I reminisce about, you know, Randy Howell's win there, not too far from where you were. But when something like that happens, a tree blows into a grass flat, and you're catching, you know, 7-pounders out of it. It almost feels like it's a God thing, doesn't it? I mean, it's like it's bigger than you. You don't know what happened, why this happened, but it just happened, and you know, you almost got to kind of chalk it up to something that's a greater power than us.
Well, you have to. You have all kinds of thoughts go in your mind. I tell you what's a funny story about that tree. My marshal, after I finally caught those two off of it, he was like, ecstatic. I was wondering when you were ever going to throw at that tree. Well, I'd just been making my route on my lines of where I thought the highest percentage area was, and then I kind of went outside to go to that tree. I never threw at that tree in practice. Like I said, this spot, if you back up a little bit, only thing I had, I caught one little male there the Wednesday official day of practice, and I had one other fish bite my rattle trap that I thought was a big one. Mm. Now, had the wind not be blowing the way it was, I'd probably go in there throwing a rattle trap and maybe don't even catch those fish.
Right.
But with the way the situation was with the chatterbait, you could throw it and I could keep my rod down lower. I don't have to worry about pumping it to keep it clean, and I could crawl it through the hydrilla. So it was really, you can call it whatever you want. I just call it blessed.
Yeah, it's incredible. You also did damage throughout the weekend on your Hank Cherry Signature Series jig from Picasso, green pumpkin deal there, and on that Megabass 110 jerkbait as well. And just talk about changing the hooks up on that, because that's a subtle thing. That's a pro's move. But, you know, what that meant, why you changed the hooks on that Megabass jerkbait, which you caught your biggest fish on Sunday.
Well, I changed the hooks on the bait because I really, really wanted to increase the sink rate of the bait. I was using my Panoptix, Montgomery Panoptix, going up and down the causeway, paying attention to the gizzard shad balls and paying attention to the fish. And the fish weren't sitting in like 5-6 foot of water suspended. They were down there around that 8 foot. When they were out in 12-15, I couldn't get them to bite. But when I started seeing them around 8 foot, I could catch them. I go into a motion jerking to kill it, and I'll kind of have an upward motion, and it sends that transfer chamber of the ball to the back, which will make that bait fall tail first. Well, as it's falling tail first, the extra way of the hooks, it's going by them fast. It's not going by them like you drop a rock in the water, but it's going by quicker than probably anything they've seen. Mm-hmm. But the key to that is it's falling. When I think I've paused it long enough, when I go to start jerking it again, it kind of rips back up into the same spot it left. And I think that was critical to getting the bites.
Finally, in our last minute, off to Chickamauga, not a great start for you at St. John's. And now it's all about the points and so on. Tennessee River Lake, two lakes up from Gunnersville. Do you think there's anything you take from Gunnersville to Chick in a couple of weeks?
Yes and no. The weather's going to be a lot different. I think there's a warming trend coming up there, so those fish should be pushing it apart. But I still think that I'll be able to catch a few on a jerk bait outside the grass lines. Just have to check out the water clarity in the stage, because we just came off a full moon, too, and I'm pretty sure that brought a lot of fish out of the river channel. But Chickamauga is a great lake, and comparing to Gunnersville, it's probably got bigger fish. So, I like what I'm heading into. I like the place that I'm at right now with my fishing. Wayne the Classic kind of takes it takes a lot of sting off the first tournament of the year.
Yeah, I would think.
But I didn't have a bad one. I was kind of middle of the pack, but it's not what I wanted. But I'm just looking forward to the year and keeping this momentum and just driving on.
Hank Cherry has been our guest, coming off his victory at the Bassmaster Classic. Hank, fantastic, very, very popular win. I appreciate you joining us here on Bassmaster Radio, and we will see you at Chick next weekend.
I'll be there.
All right, thank you, Hank Cherry.
Thank you.
Let's get a break. We'll come back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and as we idle this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Marshall spots are still available for regular season Elite Series events for just $99 per tournament. And as part of the program, at every tournament, participants will enjoy an exclusive dinner and a meet and greet with all of the elite anglers, as well as receive official Bassmaster Marshall apparel and products from tournament sponsors. Visit Bassmaster.com/elite for Marshall registration. Now, the 2020 BassPro.com Opens season is underway. Visit Bassmaster.com/opens for all the info you need to get registered for this series. It's the highest level a co-angler can fish, and it's a tremendous way to hone your skills, learn from the pros, and maybe even make a few bucks as you compete against other co-anglers. This year's pro field is better than ever, so grab a co-angler spot now. And while you're at Bassmaster.com, click on the Sweepstakes tab for your chance to fish with Bassmaster Elite Series Angler of the Year. year, Scott Canterbury. Round-trip airfare within the continental United States, a three-night hotel stay, car rental, and a $500 in cash. The winner will also receive an incredible prize package that includes a Skeeter ZX190W boat with Yamaha Show engine, plus other great prizes, bringing the total value to over $52,000. And don't forget to sign up for Rapala's Fantasy Fishing at Bassmaster.com. Each week's winner will win $4,000 in cash and prizes, $4,500 if you are a member of BASS. And this year, over 190 places will win prizes each event, and the grand prize is over $20,000 in cash and prizes. Just go to Bassmaster.com and click on Fantasy for rules and to get in today. And while you're at it, join our Bassmaster Radio group, where each event's winner will receive a rod and reel combo from Enigma, and everyone that finishes ahead of me is entered into a drawing for a prize package from VisitAnderson.com, Rapala, Missile Baits, and Phoenix Boats. Just search Bassmaster Radio under the Groups tab. Now let's take a look at the upcoming tournament schedule. Next, it is the Bassmaster Elite at Chickamauga Lake that goes out of Dayton, Tennessee, March 19th through the 22nd. Then the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series at Lake Hartwell is presented by Bass Pro Shops at beautiful Lake Hartwell, March 26th through the 28th. And then the Bassmaster Elite at Lake Eufaula is April 2nd through the 5th. Remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's always just a click away at Bassmaster.com/radio, or just hit the watch button and click on Bassmaster.